In order for something new to come, something old must go. What is your mindset? You want to stay small? You can, of course, stay small, but I have a different mindset. It's always about your life. It's never about blindly following something just because somebody told you to follow.
Today's video was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs. They've just sent me their new Super Greens. If you want to find out more, head to the link in the description.
Being at the temple, there's a lot of physical training that happens. And I think for a lot of people who are lost, it goes hand in hand with the idea of sitting in the bed all day, not going outside, not getting physical exercise, gaining physical strength and becoming weaker. And yeah, how do you find strength when you are weak?
Okay. Now, maybe I really have to say that I do think that this society nowadays suffers a lot also from a lot of mental issues, let's say. Yeah. So the mental states are quite devastating, I have to say. Nevertheless, I can really only speak from the experience that I have. I'm not a psychologist. So that means sometimes only like trying to fix mental problems. I don't know. What I know is that we have many, many people that either came here to our monastery or people that are sending us the feedbacks after they are doing some type of those Shaolin trainings that we are offering. And the only thing I can tell is that in the moment where more movement, physical movement, physical engagement starts to be integrated into the daily life, something about the way how you look at the world is changing, something about the way how you feel about waking up and what is going to be in front of you is changing. And this is why that approach that we are having right now is quite simple. If you are out there and you're feeling lost and you do not have any other idea right now what to do, I can only suggest you to look for everything that is available out there and just force yourself at least for 1 week. You don't need to commit for 30 days, but make it at least for 1 week. Instead of 1 week doing nothing, try out every day a 1 hour session that is available out there. Because elsewise, I don't know. I cannot suggest you to take any medicals. I don't know who you should go out and search for to talk to. These things may become afterwards, but something that is directly in your hands right now, especially if you have the chance to see that video right now, it means you have access to the internet. So that means the next search would be look for a practical session involving learning how to breathe and learning how to increase your body awareness. That would be right now the easiest treatment, the easiest initiation to get something moving.
Yeah, I think one thing I've always noticed with people who are in a slump or in a darker place, getting outside into nature, getting fresh air and exercise always was a huge benefit to them. It never went wrong. It never created any harm. I think one of the things that when someone's in that position, their self-confidence is at a very low point. And I think that can create like a really bad cycle to constantly go through. How would you suggest somebody becomes confident in themselves?
Yes. You talked about the circle or the spiral. And that is exactly, it's a nice picture. if every day you wake up and you are continuously encouraging yourself that your situation that you're in is the right one, because maybe there are so many reasons. Some people feel they are misunderstood by everyone. People feel that they don't have a place in this world. Other people feel that they are being discriminated. There are plenty of reasons why you feel that you do not belong to, let's say, this society. The more you are talking and thinking in these terms, what's going to happen is that you're just creating more and more distance. So that spiral starts to move in one direction. But what goes for the spiral downwards also goes for the spiral upwards. And that means that it's not just that movement that I can suggest for someone to try out, but it is also to find out the small little details and the small little moments where they feel a type of belongingness again, the belongingness to something. And that's why I'm saying, either you find some individuals that are out there that share your views and encourage both of you at the same time. If you feel like you don't belong to the humanity, it's no problem. You might just start by looking out and get in nature with animals. As ridiculous as it sounds, maybe. But some people feel more connected to animals than they feel being connected to humans. Because the way our animals and humans sometimes interact is not by words. Words that can be misunderstood. Because your definition of a word and my definition of a word sometimes can be quite different. But interacting with other beings that do not share the same language is a different one. That one is taking base sometimes on behalf of, yes, your expression beyond words, which means how you feel towards something. And therefore, I also think that this is maybe a way also to get people back from that track, back from the darkness. If you feel like you're not connected to a certain part of beings, no problem. There are more beings in this world. Yes? But the main idea should really be step by step, get back and connect yourself again. First, connect to yourself. Then connect maybe with another being. Then connect within the group. And afterwards into a community. And then this is the way how to get back on track. And while all of this process is happening, the confidence is starting to also return back.
It's really nice to hearing you talk about hard work and determination and all those kind of things, because I do think it's misunderstood somewhat. And one of the things we've spoken about briefly before, but I do like the way you talk about it. You have a mission here. You have a mission in life. You have a mission at the Shaolin Temple Europe, and you put a lot of time, dedication, effort to make that come true and to make that happen. And there is the word that is looked down upon in some circles of social media is ambition. But you're, in my eyes, I see you as a very ambitious person, and some of the goals that you've achieved and you continue to work towards are very lofty goals. And I would love to hear a little bit more. We've spoken about it before, but a little bit more on how do you balance ambition and but not be too invested in the results as well? Because I think a lot of people invest in the wrong results, you know, the fame, the success, the money and all these kind of things. Like, how do you avoid investing in that but also have ambition to achieve your goals, which have a good reason to exist, especially with the Shaolin Temple Europe?
Like, of course, in the beginning, in order to at all start this whole idea, I needed to have an injection, meaning injection from the bank in that time, taking that that credit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So of course, in the very beginning, the numbers mattered, making the calculations, making the business plan, making the forecast or anything like this. But after some time, things started just developing and these numbers became really unimportant. More important and in the foreground came to me, what made it grow? What made it grow? And I think what made it grow was, again, everything that I just told you about, what makes you grow also personally. To take the suffering, to take determined, to in a way have hope, to trust in something bigger, to trust in yourself, to build up confidence, to stay disciplined, to take out the laziness, to have consistency. Yeah, it comes back again. Now just apply it into something bigger than just yourself. Now it starts to be an organization. And so you see the organization grows. Also meaning the community, the people that are involved and engaged in this organization also grow. Then I can see how did the people, my master brothers, all the disciples, how did they look physically? In what state of the mind have they been mentally? How are they emotionally? I normally don't talk a lot, even if people don't don't believe it. I'm not a talker at all. Yeah, but I think I can sense quite good. I can sense the state of people. And so this is how I got to know my community when they first came. Now the monastery grew, the organization grew, and I can also feel like each one of them is growing in these type of fields. So there's growth in my life. I can feel the growth in my life. So. And this is what, until today, is being the main point that determines all of my decision. Whatever I do, I try to sense what is going to be the consequence of it. If the consequence is more expansion, it's for me the proper way. This is what motivates me. Because why more expansion? That only means for me, I am crossing lines, I am crossing borders, I'm crossing a limit. Why does it matter to me? Because the whole life I realize that when you are putting limitations to yourself, you always stay small and never get into the glimpse of what this complete universe and life actually has for a potential for you to discover. But this is dependent upon what is your mindset. You want to stay small? You can, of course, stay small, but I have a different mindset. Not saying everybody has to have that one. Me as a human being, I just grew up like this, maybe even based on my birth date, I don't know. Also some things people sometimes care about. I have a different personality. And this personality is constantly searching, constantly wanting to know what is beyond the border. And that's why, and this is why maybe that my personality was quite well fitting to the fact of building this up. And why everything went exactly the way as it went. Yeah. And I feel at the same time, I feel like this way of life, the things I'm engaging in, yeah, also like with the technical things, you know, I feel like it's resonating so much actually with the way how I am anyway am. And so this is what makes me feel like it's a nice way. I am surrounded by people that say that I like, by people that I constantly see, and everybody's always developing from year to year, all of you as well. You know, I wouldn't like, or let's say like this, if you would come here, I know how you look the first year, I know how you look the second year, and I know how you look this year. If I would sense something about you would go down, emotionally wise, physically wise, or anything like this, well, then I would talk to you. Mm-hmm. You see? But the thing is, we're all on a good path. And I'm asking myself, why? Because the ambition is not money driven.
Yeah.
Because that now we have financial possibilities is the result of the initial cause that we have planted. And that one simply is growth. And along the way of growth, meaning having more influence, having more possibilities, money is also like this. It's not just about money. We started to get more people. We have more possibilities to place things. There is growth. The question is, for what are we going to use it also? And this is also a way to remind ourselves, it's not that money corrupts. It only, money only brings out something that you anyway already have. It just brings it out. But if you don't have it inside, there can't come corruption from it. It only gonna show up the corruption if already from the beginning on you were corrupted.
I think something we spoke about a lot actually, but never put this terminology on it. And I don't know if you know of it by this terminology, but the law of attraction and how to use the law of attraction to manifest things into reality.
I heard about this terminology before, the law of attraction. I don't know necessarily how you would define it. But as I understand it, in a way, it is about, let's say, how to make something manifest that you want. If this is the case, then for me, starting very easily again, it starts with the smallest area inside of yourself. It starts with the smallest aspect. Let's just take it as the world of thoughts. But the world of thoughts is not graspable. The only one who knows about it is yourself. So wanting to manifest something is now the question, how can you start expressing what you feel deep inside of yourself in such a way that the world of forms start to mirror it? And so what you again therefore want is, it's about harmony. You actually want that something which is sitting inside of you gets into direct resonance with what we have available on the outside. And I don't think there is a magic formula for this. What I know is that 100% hard work helps. Simple like this. So I wouldn't say that just think about it, just make your wishful thinking, just make your prayers, depending on what type of prayers. But having something that you really want, spending your time to already manifest it in the mind as good as you can, meaning make it feelable. Make your thought already start to go into the area of you can feel it. You can feel it, how it has entered your life. This is already a first step of, okay, now it's not just thinking about it, now you even feel it. It maybe is not there material-wise, but you can sense already what type of an energy and in which type of fluctuation within the flow of life actually that wish would put you. Okay. So that means you visualize something maybe, or you go into deep prayer about this thought that you have, okay, this is what I regard as being a prayer. It's not just talking words. It's about diving in and trying to create that feeling, calling up, cultivating that thought that it really starts to become feelable. So this is one of the initial steps. What we have right now is what you are thinking and what you're feeling already starts to be still in harmony. Okay? And now, practice and continuously and with patience. Stay with it. If it's important to you, stay with it. Keep on cultivating it. Slowly, slowly, but give yourself some time. Everything that happens too quickly, which is changing the status quo too quickly, first of all, it's not helpful for us, and it most of time is also destructive. But if you really want something, I think this is the way. Slowly, steadily, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly meaning what? There is no doubt there. You are not doubting it. There's no doubt. It just means it hasn't manifested like in the way that it's right in front of the eyes. But just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But why so pure-heartedly? Because only the heart is the one that is, let's say, connecting us humans together. Only the heart is like that area that I would regard as giving the possibility of connecting. The heart is like the highest instrument, if you would say like this, the highest antenna to spread out the connection. And if you are sending from the heart the signals out to the universe that there is something that there is something you would like to receive, I think the best way to express it is when it comes from the heart. So that means because you already have it inside of you, because the heart is the magnet, because it's magnetic, that's why it pulls. That's why it pulls. Yeah, I express it now again, maybe a little bit fluffy again, but it attracts the energy which is surrounding all of us to finally manifest what thought, what emotion, and what feeling, and what wish and desire you have inside of that heart. It's pulling it towards you. And this is why now when energy, strong energy, starts to come into your life, well, in order for something to be created, we need a lot of energy. So the ultimate question is always, if you want to manifest something into your life, you need energy for that. And what is the highest energy in this universe that we have? Some people call it sexual energy, or it is love. It is the energy that carries the potential to create life. This is normally what happens when two people come together and then go into a partnership, go into a bond, and create out of love new life. There is no other energy that can create new life. Two people hate each other, how they create new life? Two people are jealous amongst each other, how they create life? No, there's only one thing. And so law of attraction, or however it's called, I think it is based upon these type of thoughts. I don't know specifically, but once you are the magnet, you're pulling something towards you. This goes for all the positive things that you feel during the day or what you're cultivating, but especially like the negative. And I think even, maybe if you are constantly thinking about, worried about, fearful about something, this fear already went so strong that you feel it on a daily basis. And then you're wondering why it happens. This is also that sentence about the, how you call it, the self-fulfilling prophecy. So self-fulfilling prophecy, law of attraction, for me, I think they belong to the same category right now. It's just when we talk about attraction, we relate it a little bit more to something, let's say, positive, because people most of the time want to attract something positive. Nobody wants to attract something negative. But if it is negative, well, then it's a prophecy. It's the same. Both of these things coming somehow from the same principle that makes this possible to happen. The yin and the yang. Electric, magnetic. One spreading outwards, one pulling towards. The forces of the universe. The forces upon which our existence, our way of thinking, our way of feeling, our way of acting, our way of behaving is always, always and always based upon. You talk, you bring the message out, you send something out. You send something out, yeah, other people receive it. Some people are electric, other people become magnetic. And this is that constant idea. Of course, I talk in pictures. But as soon as you are able to relate something about your life to this duality, then you know, okay, you are embedded into this way of life as well. You are part of all of this. So it makes sense to figure out for yourself, what is there more? Okay? Then also now, duality is like the very beginning, yeah? It's like yin and yang, this is what people know. Easy way also, now you have the symbol right in front of you. On the one side, the black half fish, on the other side, the white half fish. And now you draw a cross, right, through the circle. So you have four areas right now. And there, what do you see? There is a small black area and a large black area. There's a small white area and a white and a large white area. Where the large white area ends, the small black one begins, and vice versa. So the message is, there is not just duality. If you now dive deeper into it, you even see different transition phases. This is now the next step. There is a transition happening in the moment you are reaching a certain valley or a certain peak. If you have reached the top of the mountain, there's only one direction where it will go. Once you know this, once you can sense it in your own life, in your different life areas, how is it professional-wise, in your professional life, where are you standing? Do you have the feeling you are like in small growing mode? Are you already in super high expansion? In which state are you already? Relation-wise, physical-wise, mental health-wise. No matter, there are so many areas where you can actually relate this model now to. But it just gives you an additional idea that, first of all, what is most probable to happen next, or what are the possibilities that can happen next. Yes, and this is now the part where philosophy, old teachings, I think, can be used for application, but not for knowing. So knowing these things and being able to talk years long about what the philosophy behind it, it's good. These are so-called professors, maybe. But the main part is to find a way to relate all of these teachings into your life. You are the one who is supposed to benefit from these teachings. The ones that wrote it, the ones that delivered all of this, they're not here anymore in this world. They left it here, in case they left it, for you to get the message and make it better than them maybe did it. That's the reason why normally you want to leave something in this world in order to, let's say, support the upcoming generations to not go through all the mistakes and challenges and difficulties you might have, you might had to face. So it's always about your life. It's never about blindly following something just because somebody told you to follow.
We had an experience this year, myself and Niamh. We went to, I won't name the name, but we went to a spiritual leader, and it was a different philosophy from this idea that you have where you can learn from everybody and to have an openness. The philosophy was more about, it was a lot to do with like worship and to stick to a very specific script and to worship one person. And this one person was the all-seeing, all-being. It sounds like I'm describing religion, but it was, you know, it was very much like the situation for a person. And it just didn't sit right with me. And there's something off about it. But I am curious, as in Buddhism or in Shaolin, like these figureheads and the idea of worshipping them. Is it built into some of the teachings that you have to, you know, bow to the feet of people, you know, that kind of thing? And how do you balance that, but also like have the self-respect and, you know, balance those two kind of things?
If you would like to learn Kung Fu, you can't go to a Muay Thai teacher. If you want to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you can't go to a piano teacher. You want to learn snake form, snake style, you need to find a master. You need to find someone who possesses that type of style. What makes a style different from another? It's because it's based on different methods that are used within the teaching curriculum. Which means if you say, I want to learn monkey style, and I look at what you are training, for example, well, then you can actually tell, if somebody knows, if it fits actually to what you want to achieve. And so definitely you can say this is wrong. Yeah, so when I talk about, it's about inclusion, it's about connecting, it's about, let's say, in a way, also tolerance, but it's also this type of realization. If you want something very specific, if there is a focus of what you want to achieve, there is definitely a wrong and a right. Yeah. For example, in the martial arts as well. But in my world, meanwhile, I don't care about snake style. I don't care about praying mantis style. I don't care about any specific northern style, southern style. I want to know what makes these styles possible at all in the first place. So I don't focus on this, not focus on this, not on this, on this. It would be focusing on, there's the hand. It's the hand in the first place, which makes this possible, that one I can't show, this possible and this possible. They all derive from this basis, from the hand. I want to know about the hand. I don't want to get stuck in this one. So that means, no matter which teacher it is, which spiritual guide it is, because I don't know him, it might be that he has one very specific direction that he would like to guide his students or his disciples or his follower towards. And so therefore I can understand that in order to reach exactly this goal, there is this way. What I do is, I don't believe in one specific way. I believe that 8 billion people have 8 billion ways, 8 billion fingers, and I care about How does that hand look that is able to express itself in 8 billion fingers? My focus is on the hand. And this is ultimately just the thing. So it's just a switch in the mind which makes the difference. And so for me, when I hear this, it's absolutely fine. Yeah? I would never say that person is wrong or whatever. It just depends on what is your overall perspective you are talking about and you are emphasizing. And because for me personally, the world of forms is limited. The world of forms is limited. No matter which style you practice, you're going to lose it at the end. As long as you have focused on one, you're going to lose the one. You bring one to life, that one is going to just, whatever you bring up, it's just going to come down. Okay? And this is now again, you know, like I told you, just with the fingers and the hands. This is now similar, like those sayings, there can't be the waves without the ocean. There can't be the clouds without the sky. And there can't be you without something that is realizing you are you. You know? The fundamental basics of the basis, the foundation of existence. This is what is interesting to me. And there I think there's one that connects us. But I don't dare to give that one a name. I don't know.
Huel have just sent me their new Daily Greens. If you want to find out more, head to the link down below. It's the most convenient way of getting everything that your body needs. It takes 10 seconds to prepare. I'm now going to hit this every single morning along with one of their shakes throughout the day. That saves me so much time when we're flying around the world with all our equipment, we're doing these podcast episodes, to know that I can get all of this nutrients, the minerals, the vitamins in 10 seconds is mind blowing. So if you want to find out more, head to the link down below where you can get Huel. Did I mention that it's absolutely delicious? Because it really is absolutely delicious. All of their products are down below.
I think one thing that sticks out, and I think it will stick out to our viewers, is the Shaolin Warrior. Is that something that can be applied to our normal life? Like somebody who's not practicing in a Shaolin temple, like can that Shaolin Warrior sort of mindset and mentality be used?
Okay. We can try in the beginning to remove ourselves a little bit from the wording, because I think everybody who hears the word warrior, he will already have something in the mind what he is considering a warrior to be. But let's take another example that I think many people nowadays are somehow looking up to. We can take any successful person nowadays. So I think everybody can find someone who is successful in something. I don't think that this person reached his success or reached his position where he is at the moment without having some guiding principles in his lifetime. And one of them certainly is structure. So that means any successful person nowadays, I don't think he reached that point by just doing what he wants during the day. Maybe right now he's in the position that he can do what he wants, but how he got there is not by doing what he wanted. He put himself a structure, he put himself a guideline. And no matter how he felt during that day, this was the code, this was the mission, and this is what he kept. If you feel tired or not, yeah, if you are in the mood to do it or not, you had your structure and you kept it. So that also means at the same time, some people have the structure, it's written down. But then they still say, oh, okay, but yesterday I actually really worked hard enough. I think today I can really allow myself to rest. Okay, for some people it's working, but other people are still having this willpower and that discipline that say, it's a 1 week plan, the week is not over yet, so we still keep going. And this is also a topic that you can compare now. So what does this structure, so what do you want to say with that? Even so that we're in the 21st century and the possibilities of doing and exploring this world are so huge, it doesn't mean that you should freely do what you want at all times. This is not the way of how in the monastery, in the Shaolin temple, we are regarding it as a healthy way of growing. And that means here, when you are in the temple, we simply have a schedule. The schedule is 6 o'clock is the working time, 6 a.m. starts the day. First of all, we take care of our animals. Afterwards, at 7 o'clock, we are preparing food for ourselves. At 8 o'clock, we are having the morning meditation. At 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock, we have the first training session. 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock is the working time for the monastery. Then 1 o'clock is lunch. Afterwards, it's a short break time until 3 o'clock. From 3 until 5 o'clock, it's another training session. Then follows 5 until 6, 1 hour of working time again. 6 o'clock dinner. 7 until 9, evening training. 9 o'clock is the evening ceremony. And this is how the day ends. 6 days a week. That means inside this daily structure, number one, there is no place for your own wishes, what you would like to do. So that means on the one side, yeah, but how come you are living, we are living right now in the 21st century, and the way how you are describing right now, this way of life, it really sounds like a prison to me. Because you have no freedom of expressing what you want. Yes, it's correct like this. Because just imagine for a moment you would live a life based on what you want. Then it would look like this. Yesterday evening, because we went out with our friends and stayed awake until 2 o'clock in the morning, even if today at 7 o'clock I have to be at work, but I don't feel like being at work because I drank too much. So I'm just going to rest at home, and who cares about my obligations at work? He needs to find a way. He can search for another person. So then you wake up, and because you're hungry, you directly run to the fridge at 9 o'clock, open the fridge. Okay, nothing is in there. So first of all, order a pizza at 10 o'clock in the morning again. Then because the pizza, you didn't finish everything at 1 o'clock, you're hungry again. So you run to the fridge and just grab something out of there. Yeah. In the monastery, there are strict eating times. If you're hungry in between, you wait. You don't run every time to the fridge when you feel like running to the fridge. So, but now let's go extended. You are in a relationship, but then you go with your friends into the city and it's very nice weather and there are many other beautiful people running around in the city. And because you think, oh, boom, I'm in a free world, we're in the 21st century, I can do what I want. Well, and this is why you're cheating on your partner. And maybe you can feel already in which direction this is going. We don't think the human is going to develop in a proper direction when he is just following what he thinks he wants to do. This is not the type of freedom that is helpful for yourself, and it's also not helpful for the people that are afterwards dealing with you. Because this type of freedom, you think it's the freedom of the mind. You think that everything the mind tells you, I need to follow. That means freedom. No, for us, it's the other way around. To learn and not follow what the mind tells you. This is the first step towards freedom. Because during the 24-hour day, your mind tells you so many different things. Your mind tells you, you should do this right now. Yes. You just had an argument with another person. The mind tells you, hey, don't take the words just like this. He just insulted me. I need to insult him back. Yeah, I need to show him who the boss is. Yeah, or anything like this. The mind gives you during the day so many different instructions. But not all these instructions are helpful. Because these are instructions which came from conditioning of the past. They come from how you were conditioned by your parents, conditioned by the teachers, conditioned by the government, conditioned by the politics, conditioned by the advertisement, conditioned by everything that nowadays has an impact on the way how we see the world. And to sometimes take a step back. And this is why it's called take a retreat. Retreat from yourself. Go back into observation mode. Yeah, stay calm. And just observe. So this time, we really want to be passive and be in the observation mode. Because this observation mode now really gives you the insight of where are you standing at this point of time in this life. When you are involved in doing, involved in activity, involved in creation, it's very hard to see where you're standing. And once again, and this is the way where we say both of these aspects we need. To learn and really be able to observe yourself. But at the same time, when you have set yourself a goal, when you set yourself a mission, to have the vitality, to have the power, to have the mindset, to have the determination, yeah, to have the willpower, just as we know them from the Shaolin warrior monks today. And it's not just in our tradition where I am coming from right now. These were the idols that I grew up with. But maybe if you would talk to another person, which maybe has his descendants coming from Japan, maybe he would take the Japanese samurai as an example of the warrior codex. Maybe you go to the United States, I don't know, maybe over there you can take the Navy SEALs as an elite special force, which is also expressing a very powerful mindset in many different ways. So different cultural traditions had different idols, different type of powerful spirits that you can look up to. And from where I come from, these were the warrior monks.
You mentioned the morning quite a few times there, and the idea of priming yourself for the day, or priming your mind, priming your body for the day. We have had, I think we spoke to you about sort of your morning routine and what you do, but is there something specific, like steps that people can follow when they wake up that they could go through that would prime them for the day and prepare them to be the best version of themselves?
Let's start just with the basic idea of the day is about to come. I have maybe some goals I want to achieve. So nothing can be created if you don't have energy. So simple way. How do we get energy? What's your diet? What's your lifestyle concerning, relating to how many hours do you sleep? At what time are you going to bed? How much time are you spending outside on the sun? Second area. And then also, for example, how is your relation to your breath? These are the three ways: breathing, lifestyle, and diet. So when I wake up in the morning, first of all, I think the majority of people that are out there, they have a house where they sleep, let's say. So the whole night you were breathing in, let's say, continuously air and oxygen, which is all the time in your room. So one simple way, how do I energize myself for the day, is if you have the possibility, you go out. Fresh air. Of course, put something warm on, you don't get sick, but like breathing wise, go out on the fresh air, open the window, and then start, for example, your clean air breathing preparation. Deep, conscious, starting to pump up. Start up fueling your system, your breathing system. Different ways. Either really just slowly fill everything up. 9 times, 10 times. Or are there exercises? You breathe in through the left nose. Breathe out through the right. So the first thing is clean up your breathing apparatus, which means it is one of the three areas right now that I consciously choose to start the day. Breathing, bring in the energy. Okay, so number one, other people go running. One possibility. Number two, have a proper breakfast. Yes. And number three, which relates now to the lifestyle, is actually what I mentioned before already. Stop thinking too much. The fact of you thinking too much is already getting you off the road. Okay? And so these things are what comes all together. Waking up, preparing your body, waking up, eating the proper food, waking up and already stay in the mindset, taking into consideration that you know, watching on the phone too much, being distracted by sounds too much, being distracted by what's going on the outside too much. This is not the way to go. Just stay in this observation mode. Always watch yourself. Stay in this observation mode. And then slowly, slowly you can start. And you build up from the morning this energy level then. Yes. Also, I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but you just take the four seasons as an example. Okay. The 24 hours divided into four seasons, meaning there is a phase where energy starts to rise, which is like springtime. There is the point when your energy level reaches the highest peak. It is the summertime. Afterwards comes the season of slowly calming down, letting go, shutting down slowly your energy system, meaning don't push yourself unnecessarily. Until you are entering back into winter time, things are now getting quiet and you can rest, sleeping. And then next morning, the sun and the spring comes again. So it's a simple cycle. And now, exactly this type of cycle you relate to now, to your 24-hour day. How could that possibly look? Which means, first of all, observe yourself when at the moment, at what point of the day, are you having your highest peaks? When you feel this, when you know, when you sense the time where you are the most awake, the time where you feel the most vital, this is the time where you place all the heavy work in, all the productive work and all the things that take energy. That is this time. But to feel already, oh no, my body, I'm slowly getting tired. I'm slowly starting to shut down. And then forcing yourself to do something. This is called draining yourself. Your actions, your behavior are in opposition to what your energy system is doing. Yes. So, and on when you're still young and you're still adaptable, all not an issue. On the long term, big issue. If energy system and the way of how you behave does not fit together, then this is what we call you have a big internal conflict, which is expressing in many different ways. This can be depression, can be of really split personality, whatever it is. Now, why do you have this split personality? Because something about you is split. There's no harmony there. And these are like just things in general, regardless of what type of work you are doing during the day, that I would like take, that I would think about.
Is there any teachings in Shaolin that talk about the idea of like false deities and, you know, like material goods and how it's not great for the mind?
It's simply rooted, I would say, in the fact of attachment.
Mm.
Okay. So it's like why I'm not a friend of investing, for example, buying a house, buying an apartment. Why? Because as soon as there is a house standing somewhere, something about me is stuck. Okay. Because you need to take care of it.
Mm.
Okay. So in German word, it's called like Immobilie. Yeah, but immobile. That's exactly what's happening, okay?
Yeah.
So this is when it comes to this type of teaching, meaning the more you attach to something, now it doesn't necessarily only have to be like material. It's in general, whatever is this, you get attached to it, you're stuck. But the world is turning, everything is changing. So I think if you want to get somehow in harmony, you can't be stuck. That this is, for me, the general understanding. So I make it simple for myself. I'm not talking about material. I'm not talking about just emotional. Whatever it is, you can get stuck in material, get stuck in emotionally, and also can get stuck mentally, can get stuck with your ideas. But it all follows the same principle. You get stuck, something about you is bound there. The energy is bound. So, and if you want to move on, well, then the burden must go. This is what it is. But now just to jump back just one step before that, yeah. If somebody is willing to take the same sufferings as like other people, no matter what, you look at any successful person. I think once the circumstances would also be the same. The only question would be if you are also willing to go through the suffering and the sacrifices somebody has went through. And that's all about it. So it's not just about what do you want. It's especially about what are you willing to sacrifice for this. And I make it very, very simple, for example. Yeah, for the last 23 years, 99% of the time, I wake up alone and I go to bed alone. And this is why nowadays I reach so many people. I think this is also something that goes hand in hand to it.
Mm.
Okay? And if somebody wants to have this life, well, chances are high. This is the question. What type of sacrifices are you willing to go through? What type of suffering are you willing to take? And based on that, it determines what can you reach.
On that point as well, this is something I'd love to try and articulate for the audience as well, because I think you painted a picture there. Say if we were to take somebody like Dwayne Johnson, just for the sake of this analogy. If you took Dwayne Johnson and you put him where he is today with everything he owns today, and then you showed exactly what he had to do to get to those steps, and you in detail, and then you put somebody at the start line and says, "Are you willing to do what he did to get to where he's got to?" And some people would say yes, and they would try, and maybe if they would fail, maybe they'd succeed. Some people would say no, there's too much work, and they probably wouldn't do it. This is the fact that gets me, and I love this. The difference is Dwayne Johnson, he didn't get a picture of all the results, and he didn't know that he was going to be this big success. He had to do all the work anyway with no promise. And this is where I think people get confused, is people say stuff like, well, I would work out every day, three times a day, to be a professional footballer, because that's what a professional footballer does, and they're a professional footballer. But they had to do years and years and years and years of work with no promise of being a professional footballer, and still do the work, and then hopefully achieve it. And I think that's the difference, is people say they're willing to pay the price, but when you remove the promise of success, I think it's a completely different ballgame. I think it's such a difficult journey into the unknown that people don't understand as much when they make these kinds of analogies. And like, you did that for years and years and years. You didn't know you was going to have this success with the Shaolin Temple when you were waking up every single day doing this. You just, I guess, hoped and had maybe had a vision, and you made it, but you didn't know. Does the analogy make sense?
That absolutely makes sense. I was just thinking, maybe that something, all the type of extraordinary things happen without you planning them. Maybe this is really the price for you accepting the fact of going through suffering. This is like my philosophy. So you are willing to really keep going, stay disciplined, don't give up. Just have trust in whatever. And because you keep on going, because someone can see how much pain, how much suffering you're willing to take, maybe this is the reason why sometimes there are presents. Of course, you can take this only as a picture, but maybe this is the analogy, yeah?
Mm. Well, I felt that that's the case. Like, the more, it's such a terrible piece of advice or quote, but the more we have suffered and the harder it's been, usually, wherever it was, at some point, the more the gift was for us. And it seems to always be the case. And I guess it's that thing again, the balance of the universe. Like, you put in and you put in and you put in and you put in and you give and give and give. And then one day, somewhere unknown to you, it comes back. And it feels like magic sometimes, that the way it happens, but it does. And it usually happens in the place you weren't looking, is where the gift will be returned. Maybe not where you wanted it, but something will come. And I've always found it fascinating, incredible. And I think when you understand that finally, it does change your life. And if you can just start to trust that, we say trust the process, because we feel that we know now, we've had that feedback once. And once we had it once, it came two, three, four times. And the more and more that came, the more we understood that it will come somehow. As long as we just keep trusting the process and we stay disciplined, we put as much work as we can into it and bear the hard times with grit and determination, at some point there'll be something, whether it's a gift at the doorstep or whatever it is, but it will be returned. I think it's hard for some people to have faith in that though, or believe that it will come back, especially when it's painful.
Maybe just take a look at the nature. No, this is why are sometimes the lifestyles that we have so much related to the nature, why I like to go to the nature, because there it gives sometimes the answers. You just look at, for example, there are some trees, they grow quite fast, and then you have some bamboos, like, yeah, so many years nothing's happening, and suddenly the boost comes. So, but what all of them have in common is, it's about the roots. So, and some roots take longer, some roots they need to prepare properly, knowing what's going to happen later on. So, and this rooting, meaning entering into new territory. it's also what makes it so painful when we are trying to build up roots in our life. Also, now coming back to like the martial training, there are exercises which are called strengthening the roots, developing the roots, rooting. So, and are these relaxing exercises? No. They are exhausting. Hard, hard for the mind. Challenging for your discipline exercises. But when you go through it, everything else you're going to build upon this is just going to benefit from it. Yeah. And so how fast something goes or whatever is really not important. This is not where to place the attention on.